Hello, everyone, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, the mighty 101.5 FM. Guess who I am, Mark?
Hello, Jimmy.
I'm Jim Samaria.
And I'm Mark Plotnick, your co-host. As we do each week, Jim and I bring you music, insights, and interviews spanning the most prolific and freewheeling era for rock and roll, the 1950s through the early 1980s.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available online at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum website gift page or through my webpage at jimsamariaphoto.com. The book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by that man of many words, many words, the one, the only, Mark Plotnick.
Jim, you know, in my contract, I get $1 for every big useless word.
Yes, I know. Yeah, you're a millionaire now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of words, tell us why today's show is so special.
Today, we are so excited to have in the studio with us a living legend of Chicago rock radio, Mr. Mitch Michaels.
Just a little bit about Mitch. He started his radio career in 1968 at WHFS-FM in Bethesda, Maryland. While a student at Kent State University in his home state of Ohio, Mitch worked at WGAR-AM in 1969 and then went on to WNCR-FM and WMMS-FM in Cleveland.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of letters.
I hope I got those. Did I get those call letters right?
You did.
Good,
yeah,
good.
That's pretty
okay.
Good. Mitch will be celebrating his 50th year in Chicago radio this year. He came to Chicago in late 71 and was on the air at WGLD-FM. He helped start up WXRT-FM, one of my favorite stations, and The Loop, another one of my favorite stations, WLUP-FM. He had a couple stops at WKQX, WDAI, and WCKG. He is currently doing the cruise from 3 to 7 at 95.9 The River, WERV-FM in Aurora, Illinois.
Boy, it's a good thing we didn't have to memorize all those call letters.
I know. There is a quiz at the end of the show, Mark, though.
And there's more. Mitch is also the author of Doing the Cruise, Memories from a Lifetime in Radio and Rock and Roll. He's also recognized by Billboard Magazine and the Chicago Air Awards for his contributions to radio broadcasting. He's also an ambassador for the new Illinois Rock and Roll Museum in Joliet. If I may say so, he should be nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Yeah. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been through it all with rock radio. Tell us a little bit about the early days of FM and how it's different today, you know, with regards to what's played.
Well, you know, it's funny. People ask me about that. And I mean, back in the day, there were stations that we just basically played whatever we wanted, okay? I mean, at WGLD it was like that, XRT. The Loop to a lesser extent. I think of some of the times being in the studio at XRT, there's a whole wall of albums, probably 10,000 albums or so. And you got a record on and there's about 40 seconds left and you're going, I need some inspiration. What do I want to play next? And you're over there with like your hands on the wall looking for, you grab an album, throw it on, and boom, away you go. But it wasn't something that I sat around and made a list of, all right, I'm going to play this, then I'm going to play this, then I'm going to play this. There was more almost improv.
Wow. So, I mean, that had to be a lot of fun doing it.
Oh, it was phenomenal. It was, yeah. You know, you get an idea or something like that, and boom, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Throw it right in.
Well, you know, Mitch, what I wanted to know is when you play a song, do you grade it in your own mind or do you put your personal tastes aside and you stand back and just hope that the listeners will enjoy the song?
I think back in the day there was more a personal, yeah, I'm going to, you know, turn people onto this or show them what this album's all about or play something different than maybe the hits that were on the album, a little deeper cut or something like that. Obviously, today that's not the case, but, you know.
But when you play a song, let's say this is a song that's in rotation, you have to play it, do you sort of distance yourself, or are you more involved?
You know what it is? It's funny. I had this conversation with Bob Stroud about 6 months ago. We were laughing about the amount of titles that we had to work with. And I said, you know what? It's not the music. It's the presentation. It's how you present what you just played. And really, it's, I mean, you know, how many times have I played Don't Stop Believing by Journey or Layla or whatever? You know, I mean, not that I don't love those songs. I mean, every time I hear Layla, it gets turned up to 11.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but still, you know, I mean, how many times can you play it before you go, again? You know, Stairway to Heaven, you know. I mean.
I feel that way when it's on the radio. And as much as you love those songs or Hotel California and stuff like that, I've heard it so many times. And one thing Mark and I wanted to do on this show is not play those songs because everyone knows them by heart. So we try to do a little bit more offbeat songs on occasion. But as great as Hotel California is and Stairway to Heaven, et cetera, you do get tired of hearing them. And they're always on the radio.
Right.
Always.
Well, the radio anymore is basically playing the hits. But, I mean, that last minute and 50 seconds of Hotel California, the duet there with, you know, with Felder and Joe Walsh, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah. I never get tired of hearing that.
Yeah, I don't either. And Felder does that so great live because he does both parts.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Awesome.
Well, today we are going to hand over our song introductions to Mitch, who's created today's playlist. And are you ready, Mitch?
If you say so, yeah.
Does he look nervous, Jim?
No, a little bit.
Well, he's done this many times before, but we've got your back just in case.
Well, I appreciate that.
So let's get into our first song, Mitch. And it's going to be the Rolling Stones.
Well, you know what? I picked this song out because, first off, that album is so special and so unique. But also because this is a song that I sang with John Howell's band periodically. So, and I'm not much of a singer or whatever else, but it was just one of those songs that I really loved and had the feeling for. And, you know, I mean, needless to say, that was like 1964. I had the mono copy of that album. Okay.
And that's the
version. It was a dollar cheaper.
Yes. Okay. Well, actually, we're going to be playing the mono version, so I couldn't find any other version. So let's listen to the Rolling Stones. It's All Over Now.
Well, baby used to stay out all night long. She made me cry. She done me wrong. She hurt my eyes open. That's no lie. Table's turning now. Her time to cry. Because I used to love her.
That's rock and roll. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's rock and roll.
I love that song.
Yeah.
And Rod Stewart did a nice job on that one, too.
Well, just a reminder, you are listening to the Classic Rock Show on WHRU-LP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and on demand 24/7.
Well, Mitch, you know, what do you love best about your career choice of being a rock and roll DJ? And if I'm not mistaken, you once told me you wanted to be a sportscaster at the very beginning
of
your career.
Well, that's really what I started out wanting to do, okay? It was sports. I was real interested in sports and went to a broadcast school back in the day. But there just, I mean, there weren't a whole lot of jobs, you know? And there were a lot more jobs that were involved with music. So I gravitated to that, which I also really loved. And I still love sports, but I'm just not a sportscaster.
So, Mitch, this is a question I really like to ask people in your position. Do you think classic rock and blues music will continue to resonate with future generations, or are we permanently mired in the current state of popular music? And I'm not going to describe it, but...
Well, you talk about being mired in the current state. I think classic rock and blues will always have an effect and will jump generations. I mean, I've seen it with my kids and my older kids and my younger kids. That music has a sustainability to just entertain and get people up and shake it a little bit.
Yeah, the thing I really respect from that era is a lot of these bands had a really... They had to earn their dues. They had to play the dives, the clubs, before they started to get stardom. And today, someone puts out one song on SoundCloud or goes on The Voice, and they're instant stars. So I don't know if there's any room for the kind of bands that we're used to hearing in the clubs and things like that. But
well, that whole venue circumstance is almost gone. I mean, you're not seeing bands in clubs that much anymore, you know?
Like Haymakers,
right?
And
I mean, that stuff
Thirsty Whale and
oh,
so
my
forth.
God, those things were amazing back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's where you earn your chops, is
right.
Those kind of places. Literally
a staging ground for bands that would then go on to other things.
Well, and even in the old days, in the 60s and 70s, you'd get three or four bands on a bill.
Sure.
And I always tell this story. I saw, in 73 maybe, I'm not sure, but I saw Rush. They were fourth on the bill.
Really?
And I thought they were horrible. And then I just said, boy, that guy can't sing. Oh, my God. And then like 2 years later, I'm saying, boy, I love this band. Who are these guys? I said, wait a second. I saw them. But that was so cool back in the day. You could see these. You remember the Wild Goose?
Of course.
You know, and they'd be playing high schools.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I saw Quicksilver Messenger. Yeah, Dex Carter. I saw Quicksilver Messenger Service. Oh, yeah. I saw Ted Nugent. I saw Rufus. I saw all these bands at the Wild Goose. For $2.
Bill Graham was sort of the initiator of that at the Fillmore. He would put on folk artists, blues artists, rock artists, all on the same bill to give people a taste of all the different things that were going on at the time. So,
yeah. Well, let's play another song. Who do you want to play next, Mitch?
I get to choose?
Yep.
How about one of my all-time favorites, Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone?
Well, are you going to introduce it, or is that it?
No, you know what? I think the song stands on its own. I will tell a quick story. The first time I ever heard it was on an AM station, and the jock came on and said, we have the new Bob Dylan song, and it's kind of long, so we're going to play the first half of it this hour and the second half of it next hour. They played three minutes of it and said, hey, come back in an hour, we'll play the second half for you.
So here we go with Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you. So loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal.
what you know you only used to get. Juiced in it. Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis as you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to make a deal? You shouldn't let other people get your kicks for you.
Well, Mitch, what types of music do you listen to on your own time?
I never listen to music when I'm not on the radio. It's bad for you. No, I'm
You should. I wish our listeners could have seen my face because my jaw dropped.
You listen to the radio, it gives you warts. What are you, crazy? It's like... You know what? I mean, I listen to a variety of things. I've got a couple of blues channels that I listen to, sometimes a little jazz, and rock and roll, you know. So, I mean, it's kind of a shuffle.
Do you have a big collection at home of LPs, you know, CDs?
I had a large, very large album collection at one time. And I cut it down from about, 6,000 or 7,000 albums down to about 3,000. And, the reason I did that is that each time I moved, less of my friends would show up to help me move them.
Yeah. So it was LPs like, are heavy, yes.
Yeah, right. You get those boxes
crates.
With
yeah, the crates.
60 albums in it. It's like, there's 400 out there. Can you guys bring that? I had them in a storage space up in Michigan. I have to apologize. I'm totally losing my voice.
It's okay. You still sound better than me.
Well, that's true. But my ex-wife, we had a store in Michigan, and the bills for the storage space went there for quite a while, and she didn't pay. And one day, all gone.
That's it. All right.
Just went away. So.
Well. I almost got rid of all my albums, and then my son came to the rescue, and he said, "Why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, you're in the will, so you're going to get the albums. Don't worry about it." So I never sold any. But just going back to the music, what music do you never get tired of? You kind of hit on it there that you listen to blues. I mean, to me, I could listen to The Thrill Is Gone all day long or almost any blues artist. I mean, what do you listen to? What don't you get tired of?
Well, I mean, I don't get tired of a lot of things. It's funny. I mean, because I'm in a genre that repeats a lot of stuff, there are still songs even within the realm of that I still love. You know, you get the Traveling Wilburys coming up. Any Tom Petty. I mean, I'm such a huge Tom Petty fan. Okay, mm-hmm. Mostly the Rolling Stones. The Beatles, you know, anything like that, it perks me up when I hear it, you know.
So I'm just going to go way back when you were a kid in Ohio. What got you interested in music? Did your parents have music on all the time, or did you just get into yourself when rock and roll hit it big in the 50s?
You know, I think my mom was kind of musical. She played the piano and was theatrical as well. I was in like a little theater company and stuff. Kind of got me into that whole performing musical circumstance. But I mean, I think just as rock and roll kind of came of age, so to speak, and I realized that if you could learn how to dance, you might get some of the girls to like you, you know.
Yeah.
So there was there was always that.
Well, Mitch, our next song on the playlist that you created, the next band never ceases to go away. So my question is, did you get a chance to watch the documentary Get Back? And if so, what were your thoughts?
You know, it's funny. I actually just started watching it over the weekend. And I've only seen about, I suppose, two and a half hours of part one.
Okay.
The thing that blew me away the most was how they participated with each other and interacted and worked on a song. Well, what about this? What about, you know, I thought that was really, really interesting. And you could see that McCartney was running the show. He was definitely running the show.
You know, and I just finished the third part. I'm not going to give the ending away. Obviously, we know the ending. But,
the ending? Did they break up in the end?
No.
Oh.
But
spoiler alert. Sorry.
Spoiler alert. As the documentary goes on, the joy amongst all of them together keeps increasing, and they were more or less discovering how to play together, because mm-hmm. most of the things they were producing and making were in the studio, and they wanted to do something live, and it looked like they weren't going to get it together, and then they get to the roof part, and then all of a sudden it was the old Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the cavern, cavern and they were amazing. So I'm not going to say anything more, but you're in for a real treat.
Well, the thing that I found interesting, too, is that the one person who seemed, I mean, Ringo was just kind of there.
Ringo was Ringo.
He was happy to be there.
Yeah.
He was happy to be in the room.
Yes.
George, you could see,
yes.
was not happy about the changes or this, or I got this song, or I got, he was the one, I think, that felt really left out.
And it carries through the whole documentary. Mm-hmm. There was joy in his playing, but you could see that he was ready for the next stage. He had, a whole album in the can. He wanted to play those songs.
Well, they did in the beginning. They did All Things Must
Pass, yeah.
Which I thought was real interesting.
And he said, boy, you know what? It would be great if we could still be the Beatles and still do our own thing. And
right.
that was before we...
And John was all over that. John thought that was great.
That's right. Well... it's time for our next song. It's going to be In My Life from Rubber Soul, 1965. Who is it written by, Mitch?
Let me think. I don't think Ringo wrote this.
Billy Preston didn't write it, that
Lennon,
I know.
Lennon and McCartney.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an autobiographical song inspired by the Miracle song, You Really Got a Hold on Me. So let's listen to In My Life.
There are places I remember. Stop.
And that was In My Life by the Beatles from the greatest album ever made by any band ever, Rubber Soul.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I'm odd man out here, so.
Yes, you are. Well, anyway.
You're the Packer fan. You're obviously the odd man out.
Yeah, he likes you know, a lot of Wisconsin bands and stuff. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, polka bands.
Yeah, you like the polka bands. Yeah. That was your favorite, right?
Two Fat Polka is my favorite song of all time.
Oh, yeah. The Polka Hits of the 50s is one of your favorite albums, right?
Bring Out the Barrel, you know.
Yeah, those are good. Anyway, you've been listening to part one of that classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, the mighty, I say, 101.5 FM, and we're available on demand 24/7.